Finally today, David Grimm, the online news editor of Science, is here with a few notable stories from our daily news site. Well, David, first I'm seeing a story here about some highly efficient orangutans.
Well, Stuart, I've got a trick question for you about this one. What exerts less energy, a person lounging in an armchair or an orangutan swinging through the forest?
Well, judging from my own armchair habits and the size of my gut, I guess I'm exerting less energy.
And that's what you would think, but that actually turns out not to be the case. Researchers have found that orangutans actually exert a lot less energy than would be expected, especially for their size.
Even though they're running around and doing orangutan things?
Exactly. And the reason researchers focused on orangutans in this study is because orangutans are a bit of an energy curiosity. They live in a very food-scarce region of the Southeast Asian rainforest, yet they are very active. And you would figure that a creature that doesn't have access to a lot of food wouldn't be running around a lot, because you're burning a lot of energy when you're running around and you need more food to replenish that energy. And yet orangutans seem to be doing just fine on limited food resources. So the researchers in this study wanted to figure out what was going on.
Well, how exactly do you assess an orangutan's energy efficiency?
Well, they had the orangutans drink something called doubly labeled water. And though that sounds dangerous, it's actually a harmless version of water. The only difference is that the hydrogens and the oxygens are a bit heavier than normal. And that allowed the researchers to trace the flow of these atoms throughout the ape system. And the reason they focused on these is because when we breathe out, we're breathing out oxygen in the form of carbon dioxide. And obviously, the more we breathe out, the more energy we're exerting. And they were able to use this labeled water as a way to figure out how much energy these apes were exerting as they were doing their daily activities, whether it involved sitting around or playing with others or fighting or swinging through trees or whatever. And the thing they found that was really surprising is that the orangutans exerted about 30% less energy than was expected for their size. We typically think large animals, especially when they're moving around, they have to move so much weight around that they're going to exert a lot more energy than a small animal. But the researchers didn't see that with orangutans. In fact, these figures indicate that orangutans are the world's most energy-efficient primate, and they're second only to the three-toed sloth, which, as you can imagine, sounds like a pretty lazy animal, as the most energy-efficient placental mammal for its size. And the researchers say the results indicate that an orangutan swinging through the forest actually burns about 500 to 1,000 fewer calories than you do when you're sitting in your armchair, Stuart.
So humans fall a little short on energy efficiency, but I guess we can still sometimes outwit computers, or so at least your next story seems to say.
Exactly. This next story is about a very tricky problem in biology. It's about how proteins fold. When proteins fold, there are actually so many different combinations that they can fold into. If you were just to be theoretical, they can actually fold into more combinations than there are particles in the entire universe. So you can imagine trillions and trillions and trillions of different combinations. And that's made it really tough for researchers that want to figure out what a protein structure is. This is really important information for figuring out what it does in the body and even things like developing drug targets. What they do right now is they turn to something called X-ray crystallography, which basically involves shining X-rays through a protein crystal and figuring out how all the atoms line up. But it's a very slow process, and it's not always the most accurate process in the world. So in recent years, researchers have brought computers in. And what computers do is they figure, well, there may be trillions and trillions of combinations, but there's only a few combinations that are really, speaking of energy efficient, more energy efficient for a protein to fold into than others. But even with sort of trimming it down a little bit, it still takes tons of computing power.
Oh, sounds like a problem for distributed computing.
Exactly. And actually, researchers, they took a cue from a project that was launched a few years ago called SETI at Home. And this was basically astronomers using people's home computers to help search for intelligent life in the universe. There was just so much data coming in that researchers wanted to search throughout the cosmos. They couldn't just do it on a few supercomputers. So they distributed this data to as many home computers as people would volunteer, and that helped them crunch the numbers. Well, the researchers did something very similar here. They used a program called Rosetta at Home. And the program did a pretty good job, but the problem was it would get about 95% of the way there with a protein structure, and then would sort of flail around for those last few steps and really still take a long time to nail that final structure.
So almost an intuition type of thing.
Well, right. These computers didn't have the intuition, but the people that were watching this unfold on their home computers said, I can see what to do. I know what the next few steps are. It's so obvious, but this computer is sort of flailing around and not figuring out. So based on that, the researchers created a game, which they call Fold It, and you can actually find a link to the game on the site. And what this is it basically is a very simple video game where you as the player try to solve a protein structure. And so they had a bunch of people play this game. They wanted to see how well would these people do when they faced off against Rosetta at home for predicting protein structures. And surprisingly, they found that people did just as well in finalizing these protein structures as this massive supercomputer did. In fact, people were often not only just as good, but they were often more accurate than the computer program was in predicting structures that the researchers already knew what the answer was.
So are they going to start using the results from this game in the project?
Well, the hope is that because it apparently is so easy to train people how to figure out these last few steps for protein folding, that you would have the supercomputer do most of the work and get humans involved, or what the researchers called human computers, to figure out
human
these,
computers, I like
exactly,
that.
To figure out these few final steps.
Well, sounds very promising. The last story here about materials that get fatter when you pull on them. That sounds kind of weird.
It does. This is actually a story that also involves computers. But before we get to that, this story is all about, as you alluded to, a very weird material, Stuart, a very weird class of materials called oxetics. And these materials were first identified almost a century ago. And what makes these really odd is if you can sort of imagine, if you pull a rubber band, normally it gets thinner as you pull it and it gets thicker as you let it go. But oxetic materials behave the exact opposite. If a rubber band was oxetic, when you pulled it, it would actually get thicker. And when you released it, it would actually get thinner.
Well, what could you possibly use something like that for?
Well, researchers have all kinds of ideas for things they'd want to use this for. You can imagine using this material in a gasket where you plug it into a hole. And so, you know, sometimes these materials that you plug into holes fall out. But in this material, even if you try to pull it out, especially if you try to pull it out, it would actually get thicker and stick into the hole. Researchers have also thought that these materials could be used for earthquake-resistant building structures, anything that would respond to pressures by actually becoming stronger rather than weaker. But the problem has been all along, ever since these materials were identified about 100 years ago, that researchers thought they were neat, but they had no idea exactly how they worked. And you really need to know how these materials work before you can start harnessing them for all these applications that we were talking about.
And now we have a better idea of how these work somehow?
Or? And now we have a better idea thanks to a mathematical model, which basically, you can see an animation of this on the site, but basically what the researchers show is if you imagine these materials as made up of a variety of rectangles and squares, the animation in the model shows that as you pull these materials, the rectangles and squares line up in such a way that it actually causes the material to get thicker when you pull it and thinner when you release it. And with this model in hand, now researchers really think they're going to be able to develop a lot of these applications and really harness the power of these materials that have pretty much been ignored for the last 100 years because researchers really didn't know how they worked.
So it's a future of expanding rubber bands.
Exactly.
Well, David, what other stories are you looking into this week on the news site?
Well, Stuart, for Science Now, we're looking into stories about why female mongooses all tend to give birth at exactly the same time, and also about what's going on in Earth's core. It turns out it's a much more bizarre process than scientists thought. And on Science's policy site, Science Insider, we've got continuing coverage of the Gulf oil spill. Now that the well has been capped, we hope permanently, scientists are trying to figure out what the next steps are. And also a story about the stimulus money in the United States and what impact it's having on research in the U.S. So be sure to check out all these stories on the site.
David Grimm is the online news editor of Science. You can check out the latest science news and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org.